This show is brought to you by Safety FM.
And here we are. It's Safety Wars. Don't know what happened there. We hit play and suddenly there was nothing there. I think we figured it out. Yeah, you know. Sorry about you folks on Safety FM. A lot going on. We had a lot of meetings this week, so that's where I have been. Big announcements coming up in the very near future. I promise you, I'm not stringing you along here. All right. Now, what a time to be alive with all this excitement in our society and with our government. There are some people out there that I'm sure have little Jim Poulsel voodoo dolls that they're sticking needles in. You know, we're going to get him. He's too happy. He's too, well, yeah, got to be happy. Don't let other people kill your happiness. Right? You are the expert. You are the, you can do it. You're lovable. You're capable. And gosh darn it, people like you. Yeah, that's, you know, hey. Now, friend of the family, going through a very rough time right now. Right? Anyway, he injured himself in a long-term care facility, rehab facility. And having huge mental health issues with him because he couldn't get out of bed for like a few weeks now. So, our thoughts and prayers go out to him. And it's like this. They had to move him to another facility because he's now on suicide watch. And suicide is not the answer. Especially since it's a temporary problem. If you or your loved one are suffering, please get help. There is help out there. There's no shame for asking for help. People are depending on you. You're depending on you. So, I was doing an accident investigation. This was one many, many, many years ago. And, you know, that was when we were in the more touchy-feely phase, right? And, oh, Jim, you got to motivate people. You got to be nice to people. You got to be this. Yeah, and I still am. Never got away from it, really. And I said to the guy, look, people are depending on you. He says, oh, no. You don't understand, Jim. I got divorced. My wife and kids are against me. Well, I didn't want details, right? I said, so there's nobody who really depends on you. I said, I noticed that you have a paper cup, like from a coffee shop. It's not a large chain of coffee shops. So I said to him, where did you get the coffee? He says, I got it from my corner store. I go there for years. No. I said, well, who gave you the coffee there? He said, Samantha. I said, okay, Samantha gave you the coffee. Tell me about Samantha. Well, she works, as her parents own the coffee place. And, they serve breakfast, like a little luncheonette sort of thing. But most people just go in there for coffee in the morning, pick up the newspaper. We used to have the things called newspapers, or, you know, print things out on newspaper print, you know, and you used to buy them and back in them days. And I said, okay, so tell me about it. She's like going to be a junior. I've been watching her grow up since she's like 8 or 9 years old. She started working in the shop before school, right? She, you know, gets me my morning coffee now. I know her pretty well. I said, okay, something happened to you. You think Samantha would be impacted by that if you were died at work or you're incapacitated somehow? And he looked at me and he said, long pause. He says, I see what you mean. I said, I think that would impact her immensely, may impact her immensely. And being a young person, right, stuff like this hurts. So I said, why, you know, think about it. how you're going to impact other people. It's the chaos theory. I never really considered the possibility of representation, right? We always have representation. It's very important for a lot of people to see representation in their life. So, for example, women like to see, and I'm not being a misogynist here, this is what reality is. Women like to see other women in positions of responsibility and power. African Americans often like to see African Americans in positions of authority. This whole DEI thing going on here, which DEI, not a bad thing, but it got weaponized by a lot of different groups here. And as you know, I'm taking all the DEI course, a lot of training, right? Rice University online for that. So, I never thought it was important. And until my wife and I just got married, we were celebrating a professional achievement for me, not important which one. And we're in a restaurant in White Plains, New York. There was a chain hamburger place. And my wife is pregnant. My son wasn't born yet. The waitress, she took a little interest in us. And we hadn't gotten to know her. We've been there a number of times. It was a once a week thing for a year. We would go to the hamburger place. And she says to me, "You know, I want to say something to you." And I said, "What's that?" She said, "Well, I'm leaving here. I got a better job." And she said, "But my son was born with a cleft lip, cleft palate 6 months ago. I have a 6-month-old. I said, "Well, okay. Well, you know, if you want any information, I'm willing to." She said, "No, you already did enough." I said, "Well, what do you mean while I was here?" She said, "Just you being here with your wife and you're celebrating this, whatever it was, blah, blah, blah. It meant so much to me. Because now I have hope that my son is going to be okay. Because you're okay." So representation is important. So that's what my message is today, my opening monologue. Here, your life matters, and it's important to have representation. Two different topics, but I wanted to share that because we have a couple of DEI stories here with government policies, new ones that came out. And we're going to cover them here. Now, we may go into hour two here only with news. We're not really talking about politics. So just to let you folks know, we do politics here. Second hour, strictly politics usually, if we have a second hour. The first hour, we need to cover news. However, there are government press releases. And they might be, when Biden was on the air, I read his press releases, Trump is here, or Trump, Biden was now in office, read his, Trump is here, we're reading his, whatever they are, with that. And we're going to go to break, and we will start our program, our main part of the program.
Safety Wars is streaming now.
SafetyFM.com.
Hard hat on my head, set the alarm. High voltage love in your arms. Steel toe boots, steal my heart. Now love's a machine, start to start. Danger signs, but we don't mind. We're safety certified. Spark of desire, emergency exits, this love's on fire. Hard-hatted, real, yeah, we comply. Our love's as strong as reinforced.
like gears, it turns so true. Turbines of passion spinning with you. Mechanical love, it's built to last. Safety first, romance moving fast. Romance, it's OSHA approved. Love that's steady, never misused. Red tape barriers can't keep us apart. Love evolves safety from the start. Dangerous signs, but we don't mind. We're safety certified, hearts aligned. Locked out, tagged, our hearts entwined. You and me, we're one of a kind. Worksite romance, it's OSHA approved. Love that's steady, never misused. Red tape barriers can't keep us apart. Love evolves safety from the start. Worksite romance, it's OSHA approved. Love that's steady, never misused. Red tape barriers can't keep us apart. Love evolves safety from the start.
That is Love in the Safety Zone by Safety Warrior. We are going to be going into some. We're going to have some more music coming up right next couple of weeks here. We got a lot of the settings figured out here on our OBS system here. So you know, we got the audio, I think, straight here. So we're not getting echo. But we'll find out in a little bit. There's EPA news. Administrator Zeldin announces EPA will revise orders of the United States rule. So this is essentially redefining stuff here. I'm sure there's going to be litigation. U.S. EPA Administrator Lee Zeldin announced today that the EPA will work with the United States Army Corps of Engineers, to God help us all, to deliver on President Trump's promise to review the definition of waters of the United States. The agencies will move quickly to ensure that a revised definition follows the law, reduces red tape, cuts overall permitting costs, and lowers the cost of doing business in communities across the country while protecting the nation's navigable waters from pollution. Given the U.S. Supreme Court's watershed decision in Sackett versus the EPA, it's time for the EPA to finally address this issue once and for all, in a way that provides American farmers, landowners, businesses, and states a clear and simplified direction. Administrator Zeldin was joined by Senate Agricultural Chairman John Woosman, representative of Republican of Arkansas, Senator Kevin Cramer, Republican of North Dakota, and Senator Joni Ernst, Republican of Iowa, Senator Katie Britt, Republican of Alabama, Western Caucus's Chairman Doug LaMalfa, and several others. So, but basically, here are some of the comments, right? We want clean water for all Americans, supported by clear and consistent rules for all states, farmers, and small businesses. Previous administration's definitions of waters in the United States place unfair burdens on the American people and drove up the cost of doing business. Our goal is to protect America's water resources consistent with the law of the land while empowering American farmers, landowners, entrepreneurs, and families to help power the great American comeback. So we'll see how this plays out anyway, you know, with this. EPA launches biggest deregulatory action in history. This is from yesterday. Administrator Zeldin announces 31 historic actions to power the great American comeback. The U.S. EPA administrator announced the agency will undertake 31 historic actions in the greatest and most consequential day of deregulation in U.S. history. To advance President Trump's day one executive orders and power the great American comeback, these announcements represent the most monumentous day in the history of the EPA. While accomplishing the EPA's core mission of protecting the environment, The agency is committed to fulfilling President Trump's promise to unleash American energy, going on and on and on. So today, quote, today is the greatest day of deregulation our neighbor nation has seen. We are diving a dagger straight into the heart of climate change religion to drive down cost of living for American families and unleash American energy, bring auto jobs. So what are they doing? So they have, I won't cover all 31, but let's see. Reconsideration of regulations on power plants, Clean Power Plan 2.0. Reconsideration of regulations throttling the oil and gas industry. Reconsideration of mercury and air toxic standards on improperly targeted coal-fired power plants. Reconsideration of mandatory greenhouse gas reporting program that imposed significant costs on American energy. And reconsideration of limitations and guidelines and standards for the steam electric generating industry. Reconsideration of wastewater regulations for coal power plants to help unleash American energy. And reconsideration of Biden-Harris administration risk management programs. So basically what the whole thing is, making energy cheaper and removing regulatory burdens here, whenever they see that. I don't know. It's a cost-benefit type of situation. Other countries, China being one of them, do not have these laws, or if they have them, they don't enforce them or selectively enforce them. And essentially, no, that's a fact. That's a truism there, that absolute fact. And it gives them an unfair advantage. So back when I was in school many, many years ago, the thing was, well, why don't we get China and the other countries to do better rather than us do worse? And that's not really the way things operate out there. Countries like sovereignty, generally speaking, unless you're in the EU, since 1951, they've been giving away their sovereignty to the European Union and some of the other things over there. That's how the political end. I don't know how. Now, what's that led to is basically no civil rights, as far as the most important civil rights, right for the free speech, got away with there. So I don't know. Here you go. EPA approves state of Texas plan to improve air quality in the San Antonio area. Today, the U.S. EPA announced, this is today, the approval of the state of Texas's Clean Air Program, or State Implementation Plan Program, SIP, S-I-P, to address vehicle emissions and improve air quality in the San Antonio area. Thank you. God bless you. All right, my little helper here. Want to say hello, Jessica? No? She don't want to say hello. The plan calls for the state to implement vehicle inspection and maintenance requirements in Bexar County. This approval supports Administrator Lee Zeldin's commitment to improve air quality through timely processing of SIP revisions. Going on there, ground-level ozone is not emitted. Thing about ozone. With that, yesterday, Administrator Zeldin announced EPA's commitment to work with states and tribes to resolve the massive backlog of SIPs and tribal implementation plans. TIPs that the Biden and Harris administration refused to resolve. The Biden administration left there in 685 unresolved SIPs. How does that work with 50 states? I don't know. And with 322 considered overdue, Trump EPA's goal is to clear this backlog as soon as possible. What are they saying? Leaders share EPA. Oh, we already mentioned that. Well, EPA will revise wastewater regulations for oil and gas extraction to help unleash American energy. Let's see what goes on here. Today, the U.S. EPA announced that it will modernize outdated regulation on wastewater discharges for oil and gas extraction facilities to lower energy costs while supporting environmentally sustainable water reuse. The agency's review will evaluate modern technologies and management strategies to provide regulatory flexibility for oil and gas wastewater, also known as produced water, to be treated for beneficial reuse, including the artificial intelligence and data entering data center cooling, rangeland irrigation, fire control, power generation, and ecological needs. EPA is playing a central role In delivering on President Trump's energy agenda, said EPA Administrator Lee Zeldin. But anyway, well, basically, effluent limitation guidelines and standards are national industry-specific wastewater regulations based on the performance of demonstrated wastewater treatment technologies, often called technology-based limits. They are intended to represent the greatest pollutant reductions that are economically achievable for an entire industry. So, they have technology-based limits. I mean, this is the best technology we have at the time. Today's announcement focuses on Subpart E of the current oil and gas extraction effluent guidelines regulations that the EPA promulgated in 1979. Right? Many changes, and this sounds like something I were to say, many changes have occurred in the oil and gas extraction industry since then. Yeah, no guvno, guys. Right, EPA announced this action in POTUS's President of the United States, termination of Biden-Harris' electric vehicle mandate. This is from yesterday. U.S. EPA Administrator Lee Zeldin announced the agency will reconsider the model year 2027 and later light-duty and medium-duty vehicles regulation and greenhouse gas emission standards for heavy-duty vehicles. In addition to imposing over $700 billion in regulatory compliance costs, these rules provided the foundation of a Biden-Harris electric vehicle mandate that takes away Americans' ability to choose a safe, affordable car for their family and increases the cost of living on all products that trucks deliver. So, you know, this is the way we're going. Trump EPA announces reconsideration burdensome. This is yesterday. They were freaking busy yesterday, man. Trump EPA announces reconsideration of burdensome greenhouse gas reporting program. The U.S. EPA Administrator Lee Zeldin announced the agency is reconsidering the mandatory greenhouse gas reporting program. Unlike every other mandatory information collected by the EPA under the Clean Air Act, the greenhouse gas reporting program is not directly related to a potential regulation nor developed with that intention. The program requires 8,000 facilities and suppliers in the U.S. to calculate this and submit their emissions reporting annually. Believe me, this is not a fun thing to comply with. I have some experience with this one. And the thing is, on this, right, let me switch to the camera view here. Hold on. Right? It's along the lines of this. If it gets measured, it gets manipulated. So the facility I'm familiar with, they had to record all greenhouse gas emissions. And what they ended up doing was, I'm not sure if it was a state program or federal program, we had to go out. My client had a whole bunch of air compressors and generators and other equipment like that on the site. And we had to go and calculate how long that equipment, or all the manufacturer's information on it, horsepower, engine, what the thing did. And then we had to calculate how many hours in a year that ran. But they tell us that right before the report's due. So they could have told us that a year ahead of time, we would have been reporting it. So they said, our best guess is this based on our work. I know, one guy stayed up all night trying to figure out all the work for the year, what equipment that they would use, right? Now, usually this equipment has an hour gauge on it, right? An hour monitor, hour meter. So presumably, the way we handled it after that was January 1st, we wrote down what the hours were or when the equipment was first delivered to the site. Then we went and recorded it on December 31st or 30th, the last working day of the year, whatever, however it worked out. Usually the 29th, the 30th, or the 31st. Now we had how many hours it ran through the year. But this organization, a little bit disorganized, a little bit bullyish, didn't think that this was serious because they apparently BS'd their way through this, which goes into this, you know, they're lying, you know, basically this inaccuracy is the level of lying, right? Oh, I don't know how else to say it. So how useful is that data if we know people are lying on it? Right? Generally speaking. Ridiculous. So, where are we? Okay, we're right at the 30-minute mark. Let's take another commercial break.
Have you listened or watched the Safety War show? It does stream live on the radio and on the streamers that we have. So if you have not taken a listen to Jim Bozell and what the hell he's doing every evening with Safety Wars, I would strongly encourage you to take a view or take a listen, whichever option is available for you, and take a listen to what the hell he has going on. It will take some deep dives and some information that you might be interested in.
Is your safety training old, stale, and hackneyed? Is your safety trainer still preaching a warped version of behavior-based safety? How about safety training that is designed to actually address and assess your hazards and liabilities and is not standardized baloney from generations ago? Contact the Safety Wars team at safetywars.com or call me, Jim Polzel, at 845-269-5772. Remember, if you are receiving this message, you are the solution to unsafe workplaces. Is your safety training? Oh.
In the professional safety community, communication and planning are just a few keys to your program's success. The question many practitioners have is, where do I start? Dr. Jay Allen, the creator of the Safety FM platform and host of the Rated R Safety Show, has built a global foundation to help you along the way. Go to safetyfm.com and listen to some of the industry's best and most involved professionals, including Blaine Hoffman with the Safety Pro, Sam Goodman with the Hop Nerd, Sheldon Primus with the Safety Consultant, Jim Pozell with Safety Wars, Emily Elrod with Unapologetically Bold, and many others. As individuals, we can do great things, but as a team, we become amazing. Dial into safetyfm.com today and surround yourself with a powerful force of knowledge and support.
OSHA recordables, catastrophic losses, environmental disasters. You want answers? So do I. This is Jim Polzel with Safety Wars.
That's my daddy!
Safety Wars is streaming now.
SafetyFM.com.
So here we are going on with more news. Trump EPA kicks off formal reconsideration of endangerment finding with agency partners. U.S. EPA Administrator Lee Zeldin announced the agency will be kicking off a formal reconsideration of 2009 endangerment finding in collaboration with the Office of Management and Budget. So EPA, what is this endangerment finding? Right. EPA also intends to reconsider all its prior regulations and actions that rely on endangerment finding. After 16 years, EPA will formally reconsider the endangerment finding. The Trump administration will not sacrifice national prosperity, energy security, and freedom of our people for an agenda that throttles our industries, our mobility, and our consumer choice while benefiting adversaries overseas. Basically, a lot of this stuff is like a tariff, right? With that, right? So countries put tariffs on products to protect their own country, right? To protect their own national needs, right? That happens. I mean, that's an ongoing debate that we're having right now with this. And, you know, has caused some turmoil, caused some turmoil out there with the economy and everything else. Now, there's another tariff where people sign treaties and make executive agreements that, no, the executive agreement has no legal binding as like a treaty, and then they just don't enforce it with these executive agreements with other countries. And there's also a lot of evidence over the years that there are, and this may sound conspiratorial, but it's not conspiracy, where you have other countries lobbying our government agencies through proxies that say, hey, maybe you should pass this law. That law, you know, benefits their country. Don't believe me? Didn't we have to hear a thing about Russian collusion for 4 years? The left was putting out, and it turned out not to be true, you know, sort of thing. But anyway, that has happened. That does happen. There are a lot of stuff out there that is in there. Our friend of the program, Alex Newman, goes into this stuff all the time on his podcast here. Right, so EPA's regulation in, the climate effects and national economy, jobs, wages, family budgets is long overdue to look at the impacts of our people on the underlying Obama endangerment finding. The United States produces energy smarter, cleaner, and safer than anywhere in the world, said Secretary of Interior Doug Burgum. To achieve President Trump's vision for energy dominance, we are prioritizing innovation over the regulation to attain affordable, reliable, and secure energy for energy future for all generations. Here we go with another one. Administrator Zeldin begins restructuring regional haze program. The U.S. EPA is reconsidering its implementation of Clean Air Act regulations regional haze program. The way EPA has historically implemented this program has both significant costs on power plants and other sectors, calling into question the supply of affordable energy for American families. EPA intends to review its regulations, implementing the regional haze program to ensure that it fulfills congressional intent. It is based on current scientific information, reflects recent improvements in air quality. The United States has made significant gains in improving visibility in national parks and other wildlife areas. The regional haze program was never intended to be the justification for shutting down every power plant and industrial sector in the country. It's a time to restore sanity and purpose to the program. Administrator Zeldin takes action to decrease risk of future catastrophic wildfires. I tell you what. My question to this is this with Lee Zeldin, right? What's the guy's game on this? Yes, I know you have a boss. Your boss tells you to do something. In this case, the President of the United States. But so far, is he running for another office? As we all know, that he lost the governor, the race for governor here in New York. Is this a possibility he's going to be running for higher office? Politicians always want a higher office, or they want to stay in the office they have and rake in whatever it is for whatever reason, whether it's rational self-interest or if it's something else on that. Altruism is rarely ever altruism for any of these guys, right? Everyone has an ego. But anyway, yes, it is soda. I have people saying, what are you drinking there? It's soda. Stevia sweetened soda. Today, the U.S. EPA, and this was yesterday, Lee Zeldin took action to decrease the future risk of future catastrophic wildfires. Specifically, he directed EPA's staff to revisit the Obama-Biden administration exceptional events rulemaking, prioritize the allowance of prescribed fires within the state and tribal implementation plans, SIP and TIPS. Just talked about it. This announcement comes in the wake of expeditiously completing the agency's largest wildfire hazardous material removal effort in its history, responding to fires in L.A. The Trump administration will be looking up the new commissioners meeting from this week. I'm sure. No, this is like the gift that keeps on giving with this. Real pissed off people. The Trump administration is tackling our emergency response duties head-on and taking action to reduce the likelihood of these devastating disasters in the future, said EPA Administrator Zeldin. EPA plays an important role in ensuring the best forest management practices while protecting human health and the environment. Revisiting this rulemaking will ensure that EPA doesn't get in the way of making preventative efforts. Now, when we were talking about the wildfires in L.A., I had a mention, right? Now that the snow is melting around here, we're going to do some walking, right? Beautiful weather out there. There's a lot of places here in the local area that have never had a controlled burn. They were converted from farmland, left to the town and left vacant or unused. A lot of that detritus there and everything else, is this an issue here with this? Right? That's a good question to ask here of your local folks managing this stuff. So that's what I'm going to encourage everybody to do, is to assess your own community. And the second thing I want you to do is assess your own house and your own property. Remove fire hazards. I tell you what, we're clearing a lot of land here around the house, here, around our properties here, because it's an issue. When this, none of the neighbors are. When this stuff goes up, it's going to go up. It's going to be a very bad situation. It's not if, but when. I mentioned this last year, and people were looking at me strange, and then we had wildfires in the area and North Jersey. And they said, well, we already prepared, and we continue to prepare there. The Trump administration is tackling our emergency response duties head-on and taking action to reduce the likelihood of these devastating fires in the future. EPA plays an important role in ensuring the best forestry management practices while protecting human health and the environment. Revisiting this rulemaking will ensure that the EPA doesn't get in the way of making preventative efforts like prescribed burns easier to protect communities. Prescribed fires are necessary to protect communities from the catastrophic wildfires, like the ones that did untold damage to LA. So what are they going to do? Have meetings and, you know, more meetings here. And U.S. EPA Administrator Lee Zeldin announced today that the agency is revisiting the Biden-Harris administration's social costs of carbon, which contributes to significant regulatory costs. The Biden-Harris administration's so-called social costs of carbon measurement was used to advance their climate agenda in a way that imposed major costs. And we are finally fully committed to removing regulation holding back the U.S. The Unleashing American Energy Executive Order directs EPA to issue guidance to address these harmful and detrimental inadequacies, including consideration of eliminating the social cost of carbon calculation from any federal permitting or regulatory decision within 60 days. All right. EPA, another one. The U.S. EPA announced that it is prioritizing a number of timely actions on coal ash involving state permit program reviews and updates to the coal ash regulations. And this, again, is Lee Zeldin. Man, I hope the guy didn't have laryngitis at the end of the day. Under President Trump's leadership, EPA will advance cooperative federalism to allow states to lead the charge on local issues with federal support. It's just one of many examples where the agency can and will work with our state partners to deliver for the American people, said EPA Administrator Zeldin. Okay. And that looks like that's it for EPA news. Now, let's go on over to Department of Labor news. U.S. Department of Labor announces senior Trump administration employee appointees. So, we already know about some of the ones. Here's some others. Bureau of International Labor Affairs, John Clark, will serve as policy advisor to the Bureau of International Labor Affairs. I think that should be a thing that we have to address here. What are we doing with this program? Because what, we're going into other countries and telling them how to treat their workers? Yeah, I'm sure that's nice, but I think that might be out of the scope of what we're supposed to be doing. Employment and Training Administration. Amy Simon will serve as Principal Deputy Assistant and Secretary of Employment and Training Administration. Previously, Simon was the founder and owner of the boutique consulting firm Simon Advisory. Okay, great. From the OSHA, Amanda Wood Lahow will serve as the Deputy Assistant Secretary for the U.S. Occupational Safety and Health Administration. That's good. She's coming over from the Occupational Safety and Health Review Commission. And another person coming on over is Michael S. Flynn, will serve as OSHA's Senior Policy Advisor. He previously served as Chief Counsel to Commissioner Lehal at the Occupational Safety and Health Review Commission. Before that, he was counsel at Consumer Product Safety Commissioner. So, my thing is, if she's going to be head of OSHA and he's going to be the policy advisor, okay, great. They're attorneys. I'm sure that by all accounts, they're pretty effective at the Occupational Safety and Health Review Commission. However, let's point something out here. They are not actual safety professionals. Sorry. That's who they need to be involved here, heading up these agencies here. We don't need more lawyers doing this. No, with all due respect, the lawyers, right? The reason why we got into all of these overregulation scenarios is because they put lawyers in charge. So when you're a lawyer, it's sort of like that old saying, when your only tool is a hammer, everything is a nail. Well, it's the same thing with this. Whenever there's a problem, there's always a lawyer in there to pass a law. Way it is here with this, how we got into this situation. When we look at these regulations, some of them we're like, where the hell did that come from? Why are we doing this? Office of Congressional and Intergovernmental Affairs, Joe McFarland, will serve as Senior Legislative Officer for the Deputy Department's Office of Congressional and Intergovernmental Affairs. The Office of Disability Employment Policy will be headed by Brian Walsh. Office of Labor Management Standards will be headed by Elizabeth Messenger. Will serve as the Director of Department's Office of Labor Management Standards. The Office of Public Affairs is going to be headed by Courtney Perella. And the Office of Secretary, Ji-Hoon Han, will serve as the Department of Labor's Chief of Staff. He was Secretary of Chavez Arrimia's Chief of Staff during her tenure at the U.S. House of Representatives. Rebecca Wright will serve as the Department's Deputy Chief of Staff. Courtney Walter will serve as Senior Counselor of the Office of the Secretary. Colton Duncan will serve as the White House liaison, and Peyton Smith will serve as Director of the Office of the Secretary. And the Office of Solicitor will be Jonathan Snare. So I didn't do accounting, but, you know, this seems like a gender-wise, a pretty well-balanced management team here. So pretty good. Now we go into the ever controversial thing. This is, again, Twitter, from this Twitterverse, what we used to call it, the X-verse. We call it the X-verse and the Twitterverse. I don't know. I'm launching, this is from Secretary Sean Duffy, a tweet. I am launching from DOT. I'm launching a full investigation into the DEI hiring allegation at the FAA immediately. If true, swift accountability will come for those responsible. We need the best, the brightest, not buzzwords, not DEI hires. This is a press release from the DOT yesterday. Again, I'm not giving any opinion on this. I'm just reading press releases here. This week's U.S. Transportation Secretary Sean Duffy announced the department has rescinded two memorandums issued by the Biden administration, which injected a social justice and environmental agenda into decisions for critical infrastructure projects. Outside groups and key stakeholders have praised this decision for overturning the memo, which has imposed significant financial and time burdens. See what they are saying below. And we have a whole bunch of quotes there with that. U.S. Transportation Secretary Sean P. Duffy announces permanent FAA action to secure airspace. We went over this the other day, but basically, they're permanently restricting non-essential helicopter operations around Ronald Reagan Washington National Airport and eliminating mixed helicopter and fixed-wing traffic. This is a continuation of immediate action Secretary Duffy and the FAA took to restrict airspace for helicopter operations. Let's see if this works. I'm going to click on the YouTube link here. Hold on.
But I think what it's done for us is made us focus on our air traffic control system. And when we take a look at that system, no doubt it is antiquated, it's old, it's anywhere from 25 to 30 years old. You've heard me say it 1,000 times. We're using floppy disks in our system. We have
We're using floppy disks in our system.
And unplugging, this is, you know, think back to the 1980s, if you were even alive, that's the system that we're using for air traffic control. Now, I want to be clear, our system is safe, right? It's old, but it's safe. But we do have science to say, looking forward, we don't want to lose lives because we have a break in the system. So it has to be upgraded, and it's going to take money. And a lot of promises have been made from DOT and the FAA about upgrades to the system that have never happened. Again, this should have happened 4 years ago, 10 years ago, 15 years ago. But right now, we're at a point where we can actually do it, and we can do it really fast. Again, we're thinking...
So that's basically it. I was joking. I'm probably gonna hold on. Let me go and take this off here because I'm gonna forget to do it. I'm gonna download this here because this sounds like something very right. What's that? Again, this will be put up on Rumble, our Rumble account, Safety Wars on Rumble. And pretty interesting here with this. So, no, I always joke about it. Again, yeah, you know, what are they using? 3.5-inch floppy disks in the government? Yeah, apparently so. Hopefully, they're not the 5.25-inch disks for the government. I mean, you know, I'm just shocked that you know, antiquated systems. I get, no, again, they like old reliable stuff. I get it. They like, you know, systems that are very reliable, have a high reliability, but we've improved with computing power. Maybe we could improve a little bit more with that. I don't know with it. Okay, let's go to another commercial break here, and we'll come back to you.
From the front lines of the safety war, it's Safety Wars, with your host, Jim Posel on Safety FM. Get ready to face the harsh reality.
In an unpredictable world, one voice rises above the chaos. Meet Jim Posel, a seasoned safety expert who's navigated through some of the most dangerous scenarios, from anthrax, explosive cleanups, disasters, and numerous environmental cleanups, and lived to tell the tale. Now he's bringing his wealth of knowledge, insights, and experiences to you through Safety Wars. From workplace hazards to the hidden dangers in your own home, Jim covers it all with his engaging storytelling. Safety Wars isn't just a podcast. It's your guide to a safer world. Join Jim Posel and become part of the Safety Wars revolution. Available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, YouTube, and wherever you get your podcasts and videos. Safety Wars. Your safety is our mission.
Is your safety training old, stale, and hackneyed? Is your safety trainer still preaching a warped version of behavior-based safety? How about safety training that actually addresses your hazards in your workplaces and is not standardized baloney from 25 years ago? Contact the Safety Wars team at safetywars.com or call Jim Posel at 845-269-5772. Remember, if you're receiving this message, you are the solution to unsafe workplaces.
So we're going to cover some local stories here, but they do have national significance here. One of them is this, and I just lost it. Shame on me. All right. So one of them is this, right? Governor Kathy Hochul. She's the governor of New York. So... I do have some insight here because I do know some people work for the Department of Corrections. Some of them are officers. Some of them are former recent employees with this. And here comes, you know, we've had to deal with, we've had to deal with a New York prison strike here, right? 75% of the workers that were on strike, and let's face it again, it's illegal to strike if you're a government worker. But 75% of correction officers have reportedly returned to their posts, effectively ending a three-week wildcat strike. Believe me, they say wildcat strike. I've known a lot of wildcat strike in my time, right, for local companies. It's never a wildcat strike, meaning, no, the union has nothing to do with it. Baloney. If you think I'm a, yeah, okay, you know. Baloney. They probably had something to do with it. If not the union officially, somebody in the union. Now, they just, everyone just doesn't get up one day and say, oh, screw it, I'm going to go, let's all go on strike. Yeah, that sounds like a good idea. Sorry, there was organized by somebody here. My question was, is there a foreign agent? I'm not accusing anyone, but it is a question, right? Because we do know that there are foreign agents out there who work here in the United States. If you don't believe me, Shen Yun, the publisher, right, the Chinese performance company, they advertised before 1948. They've been hitting PSAs up about the Chinese Communist Party harassing them for years, right? And the United States and the Chinese police are here harassing them. So my question is, was there a foreign entity here to doing this? Probably not, but was there? That should be questioned. Should be an investigation. So New York State Department of Corrections and Community Supervision Commissioner Dan Martuscello said about 10,000 officers and sergeants had returned to work, including more than 1,200 on Monday. There were around 13,500 officers and sergeants working in prison before officers first worked the job. Right, so when they left, went on strike, the National Guard took over the prisons. Public employee strikes are illegal, and the state is firing more than 2,000 employees who refuse to return to work, he said. Thousands of National Guard personnel will remain in prison to support corrections staff. That will allow correctional officers to work 12-hour shifts rather than 24-hour shifts. So basically, what Kochel did was, she said, if you didn't return to work, you're permanently banned from holding a state job, right? Okay, my question is this. If 2,000 people, 25% of your workforce, quits, I would think that you would want to find out what the hell was going on. Because I tell you what, the stories that I hear from corrections officers and people who work in the Department of Corrections is horrific. Horrific working conditions. Well, Jim, they're dealing with bad people. I don't care if they're dealing with bad people. They're working 24-hour shifts. Burnout. We had a corrections officer in town here commit suicide last year. Really? We're all okay with this shit? Really? Real? Maybe there should be an investigation, a federal investigation of Kathy Hochul. Why did they allow this to happen? Why are they allowing these horrible conditions? I mean, and with some of the accusations I've heard, some of the people from the Department of Corrections on the wrong side of the jail cell. I mean, we're talking all different types, all crazy stuff. If it happened in American business, people would go down to the police headquarters and say, arrest that person. That's how bad this stuff is. Literally criminal. Forget about cancel culture. You were talking just outright criminal shit going on. So, ridiculous here. So we're going to be wrapping up hour one. We're not going to do an hour two today. Here, my voice is starting to go, and I want to be here for tomorrow. And we are doing lots of training. Give us a call, 845-269-5772 for training. All different types. So we're going to cut away to our patriotic music, and we will get back to you. For Safety Wars, this is Jim Polzel, and we will see you tomorrow.
The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are those of the host and its guest and do not necessarily reflect the official policy or position of the company. Examples of analysis discussed within this podcast are only examples. They should not be utilized in the real world as the only solution available, as they are based only on very limited and dated open source information. Assumptions made within this analysis are not reflective of the position of the company. No part of this podcast may be reproduced, stored in a retrieval system, or transmitted in any form or by any means, mechanical, electronic, recording, or otherwise, without prior written permission of the creator of the podcast, Jay Allen.